I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10. It is the chapter of Mother Yasoda binds Lord Krishna. These are verses 1 and 2. And we'll read the verse and commentary. by Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ekada Kriha Dasishu Yasora Nanda Gehini Kamantara Niyuktasu Nirmamanta Svayamdadhi Yani Yaniha Gitani Tad Bala Charitani Cha Dadhi Nirmantane Kale Svaranti Tanyagataya Gayata, excuse me. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued. One day, when Mother Jasoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. The purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yasoda took place on the Deepavali day, or Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Jasoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Jasoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. While churning the butter, Mother Jasoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Jasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna-conscious Mother Yasoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Om Yana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksha Om Mani Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bangum Bangayate Girin Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gunundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvashesha Shanyavari Pastachade Satarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadar Harshi Vasari Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse is the first verse, as we said, of the chapter, which introduces the Damodar Lila. This evening we'll be offering lamps to Lord Damodar, which is generally done during the month of Kartik. And we sing a song, Damodar Astakam, Astakam, the eight prayers in glorification of Lord Damodar. And specifically, emphasis is given to this particular pastime, and which should be remembered in this month of Kartik, which is also known as Damodar. And this verse introduces, as we said, the pastime, what this mother Jasoda doing. She's churning yogurt into butter. Last week we had a little festival. We were churning in Hartford. Oh, yeah. I don't know how many gallons of butter did they make? I don't know. It was a lot. Everybody got the opportunity to take. It was not made from yogurt. It was made from fresh cream. But anybody who watched the event, it took several hours. A lot of work. And here is Jasoda, the queen of Vrindavan. And she chose to do the work herself, although, as explained in the purport, she had many maidservants who could have done it for her, being the queen. They were all at her disposal. But Jasoda was thinking that my mischievous son is oftentimes caught stealing butter in others' homes. Maybe what we have is not good enough for him here. He has to go to others' homes to steal, which is one of Krishna's childhood, babyhood pastimes. As we know, he is Makanchor, the butter thief. And he likes butter. And so Mother Jasoda was thinking that I should prepare some nice butter for him that's just so good, it'll be so good that maybe I'll be able to keep him from circulating throughout all the homes in Vrindavan and causing so much mischief, because she oftentimes used to have to sit when all the gopis would come to her and complain. And that was one of the common events that she had to be subjected to. When the gopis would come and complain to Jasoda, the elderly gopis, your son is coming, he's entering into our houses, he's climbing into the rafters, he's stealing the butter, he's breaking open the pots of butter, and can't you keep your son at home? Can't you discipline him? Can't you train him? And of course, and they would oftentimes also complain about other things he would do, that sometimes he would untie the calves, and by untying the calves would run to their mother cows, and although the gopis were trying to milk the cows, the calves were taking all the milk from the cows, and Krishna had a good time doing all of these things. And Krishna sometimes, he would tell his mother, Mata, I don't know what they're talking about. And he would even deny. He said, actually, I go to their houses because I have so much affection for them. Why do they see anything wrong with that? But he was denying his mischievous activities, and of course this is one of Krishna's unique attributes, that although he's the absolute truth, he's a liar. How to reconcile that one? Well, it can be reconciled by those who understand Krishna and those who know that there are many contradictions in his character which can only be understood by those who understand the nature of Krishna's pastimes. and how he's very much inclined to subordinate himself to the love of his devotees, as he does with Jasoda. So Jasoda, she is working hard, and there's a description of her in the next verse, how, describing how she's perspiring, and the flowers, the malika flowers in her hair, are falling down from her head onto the ground, and her body is moving very swiftly, and body is vibrating. She's hard labor, as we said. When we prepared this butter last week, it took so many devotees laboring for several hours to churn it into butter. And that's what Jasoda wanted to do, because she thought, I will take the milk from the special cows. There were a few special cows that Jasoda was keeping track of. They were the cows that were grazing on Govardhan Hill, and they were attracted to certain types of grasses which were very aromatic. So aromatic. So that aroma coming from the aromatic grasses would actually manifest even in the milk from the cows. And she was thinking, I want to get the special milk from these special cows, which is coming from the special grass on Govardhan. And if I use all of this as ingredients for churning this butter, then certainly Krishna will stay at home. That was her way of thinking. And although Mother Jasoda was churning the butter, it's also described that she was doing it at a particular time in the morning when Krishna is usually asleep. And the reason why she does that, because whenever Krishna is awake, requires all of her attention. That's, again, I mean, everyone, I oftentimes marvel, just like as we sometimes we hear children, they make a lot of noise and do a little mischief. They like attention. It's their nature. Of course, sometimes it's not so easy to give attention and to satisfy them, but it's usually their way of getting attention. But Krishna, when he does it, Krishna has a way of getting everybody's attention. And there's a certain attractive feature that's obviously manifest, that when Krishna performs these mischievous activities and does these things to attract others' attention, the result is everyone thinks of him. So there's a certain benefit which comes from thinking of Krishna. See, it works. It really works. I marvel at how well it works. And Krishna cries also. He cries. Crocodile tears coming from his eyes. Out of fear of the stick of Mother Jasoda, he was crying. But we'll get to that. But it really works. It's very, very effective method for capturing others' attention. And of course, once Krishna has everyone's attention, in fact, even when some of the gopis would come to Mother Jasoda to complain about the mischievous behavior of her son, one by one they would line up and they would tell all the different things that he would do, like untying the calves, stealing the butter, distributing the contents, breaking open the pots. Sometimes he would take lime. Sometimes they would make their homes very, very nice with lime, and it would be very nice and white, and Krishna would come and throw mud onto their homes, and see, they would one by one they'd line up, and they would tell Yasoda about all of his activities, and Yasoda would sit there and, oh my, why are you doing these things? And Krishna would deny it. But then the gopis would tell Mother Yasoda, oh, actually, we're not so angry with your son. We came just to tell you about these things. You know, immediately they would reveal their actual disposition, that we just thought we should tell you about this, that's all. And they would derive great pleasure. Really, they were happy. So that's why Krishna performs wonderful pastimes, so that others will talk about him. Not only is it to perform mischievous pastimes so that the gopis come and talk about him, but he performs wonderful pastimes like lifting Govardhan Hill. Performs wonderful pastimes, so many of them as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he leaves behind for us to hear and chant and discuss about him, because the nature of Krishna's pastimes is their divyam. They're transcendental. And Krishna says, janma kama chame divyam even yoveti tatvata. And anyone who knows the nature of my janma, my appearance, and my karma, my activities, simply by knowing that nature, that there's a certain benefit that comes, that's derived by hearing such narrations. The benefit is, Krishna says, one doesn't have to take birth again, but he attains my eternal abode. So that is the one of the important results of hearing Krishna Lila. So Mother Yasoda, she got up early in the morning, and she tried to do all this for Krishna while he was sleeping. Because as we said, that usually when Krishna's awake, like any parent knows, I talk to parents all the time, I visit their homes. Sometimes the young children, they keep them up at all hours of the day. And, you know, the only time they get rest is when the children are sleeping. Or the only time they get things done that they have to do is when the children are sleeping. It's, especially at a very young age. So Mother Yasoda was doing all this. She was churning all the butter, the special butter that she wanted to make for Krishna while he was sleeping. But so happens, Krishna woke up. On this particular morning, it was Diwali, actually. It was on the morning of Diwali, as Prabhupada said. That was the particular day that this pastime took place. That Krishna woke up very early that morning, and naturally the first thing he does is where's Mata? Because she's always around whenever he wakes. But this particular morning, she was trying to get it all done before he woke up. So he came out looking for Mother Yasoda, and Yasoda, there she was. Flowers falling from her hair, laboring intensely, perspiration coming from her body, milk flowing from her breast, because she was actually thinking of her son, as this verse describes. While she was preparing this butter, she was always thinking that I'm making this for Krishna. And because she was meditating, absorbed in Krishna, she was actually singing poeticized songs about the things that she had seen and heard about that Krishna had done. While she was singing, while she was churning the butter. And then Krishna came out and saw Mother Yasoda laboring intensely. And then Krishna gave an indication that he wanted something else. What did he do? Krishna took his hand and he put it on the churning rod. And he tried to stop Mother Yasoda, because he was trying to indicate, it's time to feed me. Not, you're busy doing all of this, but it's time to feed me, to offer your milk to me. And the Vaishnava Acharyas actually give a very wonderful explanation behind this event. That when Krishna put his hand on the churning rod and stopped Mother Jasoda from churning, there is actually a hidden meaning behind that activity. And the hidden meaning behind that activity is that generally we think of churning, we think of mental speculators. Mental speculators are always absorbed in churning different thoughts, trying to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth. But as described in this chapter, that Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan Dehinam Gopika Sutta Yaninam Chatma Bhutanam Yata Bhakti Matam Iha. That Krishna, Gopika Sutta, Krishna the son of the Gopi, Mother Jasoda, he can't be understood by such churning or mental speculation. The mental speculators can understand him. Those who perform severe austerities and penances are those who accept the body as the self. Krishna can only be known to those who are as Nayanam Sukapu Bhagavan Gopi. He's described, he can only be understood by those who engage in spontaneous, loving, devotional service to him. So Krishna was trying to indicate, you don't have to churn. You already have me. You already have me in your possession by your love. What's the necessity of all this churning? You've already purchased me by your love. So therefore, the Acharyas explain that when Krishna was putting his hand on the churning rod of Mother Jasoda, he was trying to indicate that such churning is not required. I'm yours. In fact, Lord Brahma also, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, he describes another verse where he explains that Krishna cannot be understood by mental speculation. And he says, gives the example that the mental speculators in their attempt to understand the Supreme Personality of God and understand his transcendental nature, his pastimes, they cannot know him in any way by mental speculation. He says, for them, it's like a person who beats an empty husk of wheat to get grain. He said, their efforts, when a person beats an empty husk of wheat to get grain, what is the fruit of all their labor? It's empty. There's no fruit. There's no wheat. But they still get fruit. What is the fruit they get? They get their hard labor. That's what they get. So, to try to understand Krishna by mental speculation, he cannot be understood even if one travels at the speed of the mind for millions of births. But he demonstrates in this pastime how he can be captured. He's captured by love. And can we turn off our phones? We already have children. We don't need phones. They can take your attention when many other times during the day. I better make sure I have mine off too. But maybe here we can try to avoid it. So, what we were saying, I was distracted. Huh? You just get the labor. Yes. Mental speculation. All you get, the fruit, is your hard labor, but you don't get Krishna. Oh, and the point is that Krishna can only be obtained not by mental speculation, but by unalloyed love. And which is, of course, what's revealed in this pastime, which gradually we'll get to. So Krishna put his hand on the churning rod and he indicated to Mother Jasoda, please stop what you're doing and feed me. So, Mother Jasoda, she stopped churning. She took her son Krishna on her lap, and she began offering her milk to him to feed him. And, of course, Krishna is very much inclined to accept such offerings of love from his devotees. But it just so happened that while Mother Jasoda was feeding her son, that she had some milk on the stove. And the milk was boiling over. So, when the milk was boiling over, Mother Jasoda was thinking, this is milk, is for Krishna. Everything's for Krishna. Yes, I'm offering him my milk now, but she was thinking she had to go and she had to turn the flame down because the milk was boiling over. But it's not because she was thinking, I don't want to clean up the mess. She was actually thinking, this milk is being prepared for Krishna. So both services were for Krishna. It's not like she was giving up service to Krishna for some illusory activity. She was giving up service to Krishna for service for Krishna. And therefore she wanted to get the milk on the stove. Vaishnavacharyas also, they give another very nice detailed description of why was the milk boiling over on the stove. Very interesting, because in the spiritual world, everything is dynamic. Everything is living. Everything is devotees. And in the spiritual world, even the milk is thinking. We're being prepared for Krishna, but Krishna is enjoying the milk from his mother so much that we may not be offered to Krishna. It's because the milk was thinking this way. The milk was thinking, what value is there for our lives? We cannot continue to live. And the milk spilled over the pot because they were thinking, let us enter into the fire. This is how the milk is thinking in the spiritual. Let us enter the fire. What is the use of our lives if we can't be offered to Krishna? Let us enter into the fire. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that even the milk is thinking in this way in the spiritual world. Trees, plants, flowers, they're all devotees. The grass, Lord Brahma in his prayers, he prays to Krishna, let me take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Because even a blade of grass in Vrindavan is so superior to my existence in this world. Because if I become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, then Krishna and the gopis, they'll trample me with their lotus feet and I'll get the dust of their feet on my head. So even to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan is such an auspicious existence in the spiritual world. So the milk was boiling over into what's the use of our life? And therefore they think, let us enter into the fire. So Mother Jasoda, she wanted to stop all of this. So Mother Jasoda, she went and she put Krishna down because she had to stop the milk because, as we said, the milk is for Krishna also. And Krishna became angry. Krishna is the personification of, as we said, he's the absolute truth and he lies. Krishna is apnarama, aptakama. He's self-satisfied. Nothing required for his satisfaction, but yet he becomes angry. So another contradiction, but that contradiction again, can be understood by understood. You didn't listen to me. Anu? So, while Mother Jasoda was taking the milk off the fire, Krishna, in his moment of anger, he decided to do some more mischief. What did he do? Anybody know what he did? I'm sure he knows. No. Huh? He what? He took? Yes. Yes. Krishna, he manifested this wonderful pastime of breaking open the pots of yogurt and butter, which Mother Jasoda had been churning for him. And then when he broke open the pots, Mother Jasoda, after settling the milk on the stove, she came back out and she was looking. And she saw, all she saw was like rivers. It's actually described, details described that it broke so many pots, there were like rivers of yogurt and butter just flowing on the ground. She was stepping in and she was thinking, who's responsible for this? But when she couldn't find her son anywhere, she began looking for him. Where was Krishna? Krishna was sitting on a wooden grinding mortar, and he was taking the contents of the pot and he was distributing it to the monkeys. Then, when Mother Jasoda saw Krishna, Krishna became fearful. He was afraid that, oh no, Mata's going to punish me, chastise me for my mischievous activities. Because what else is a mother supposed to do with a naughty child? Right? Supposed to punish, chastise. So that when they misbehave, to improve their behavior. In fact, Mother Jasoda was thinking, my son is so mischievous, she picked up a stick and she began running after Krishna, chasing him. And she was calling out to Krishna, stop, you thief. Here we have another. Krishna is worshipped by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Try to figure that one out. Hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune are serving him at every moment. But yet, he has to steal butter like a thief. Another contradiction. But can be understood by knowing Krishna. So she's actually saying to Krishna, and she has the stick, she says, stop, you thief. Stop. And I say, stop immediately. Krishna stops. And Krishna says, you're calling me a thief? You're the thief. Everything in this house belongs to me. Little word jugglery there. He does. But then he says to his mother, no, you stop. Don't tell me to stop. You stop. And he says, you stop. And if you come any closer with that stick, you think I've been doing mischief before this? You wait and see what I'm going to do if you come any closer. He's threatening Mother Jasoda. Wait and see. So Mother Jasoda, she became a little bit reluctant. And then when Krishna saw that she was approaching him with the stick, first, it's described in the Bhagavatam, it described that Krishna, he manifested false tears. He was trying to convince his mother that not to do this. So first he manifested false tears, but his mother Jasoda became very determined to punish him. Then what happened is that Krishna began manifesting real tears. He was afraid. Now this is another bewilderment. How is Krishna, who cannot be, I mean, he's even death personified, is afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of the stick of Mother Yashoda. Everyone fears Krishna, but Krishna is afraid of his mother. How is it that Krishna is afraid? And how is it Krishna is genuinely afraid? Krishna is genuinely afraid because his mother's love is so strong that Krishna becomes so captivated by that love, becomes so much relishing that loving relationship of maternal affection that he experiences with his mother, reciprocates so fully and so absorbed in it, he actually forgets he's God. That may seem conceivable, but he does. In Pastimes of Vrindavan, it is described that Krishna is simultaneously sarvajna, he's all-knowing, but he's also mugda. He's bewildered. He's bewildered by the love of his devotees. And our acharyas give an analogy. They give a very wonderful analogy. They give the analogy of the lotus flower. A lotus flower is filled with nectar. And the bees, they enter into the lotus flower to get that nectar. And they stay in there because there's so much nectar in the lotus flower that sometimes they become completely oblivious to the fact that at night the lotus flower closes and they get trapped. So they can become covered by the petals of the lotus flower inside the lotus flower. But they don't care because there's so much nectar in that flower. In the same way, Krishna enters into the hearts of those who love him in spontaneous love. He enters into their hearts and becomes so much absorbed in their love, he becomes covered. Believe it or not, he becomes covered. He forgets. Such is the power of pure love. But why? Because he's so much relishing that loving affection the devotee has for him. What difference is it? Just like the bees thinking, well, it's okay. The petals of the lotus flower close and cover me completely. There's so much nectar in this flower. I'm happy. So Krishna's experiencing so much nectar in the hearts of his devotees who have that love, spontaneous love. So Mother Yashoda, she's chastising Krishna, and Krishna's crying, and he's genuinely afraid. There are other explanations about this in the prayers of Queen Kunti, how Queen Kunti is describing how she's also bewildered by the fact that Krishna becomes afraid by the stick of Mother Yashoda. But that's another story. And so then, what happens then? Mother Yashoda has put down the stick. Krishna's afraid. And Mother Yashoda decides, as she's been chasing him all over the courtyard, actually there's another explanation, because as she was chasing him all over the courtyard, it's described that Krishna, he went to the front of the courtyard. Why did he go to the front of the courtyard? Because he was thinking, if I go out in the front of the courtyard and if other people see my mother's chasing me, she'll be very hesitant to punish me in public. So he's thinking, I want to run out in the front because if others see what's going on, then I'll be able to avoid punishment. Krishna didn't want to be punished. He didn't want to be stopped because he had this desire. He wanted to play with his friends. But Mother Yashoda was thinking that she was thinking, I have to punish my son. And so he doesn't do this again. I have to teach him a lesson. So Mother Yashoda, then as we know, she takes the rope and she attempts to tie. Damodara means a bound by the waist with a rope. So she attempts to tie Krishna with his rope. So she takes the rope and she wants to tie him to the wooden grinding mortar. And then what happens is she discovers that when she tries to tie it, it's 2 fingers too short. And then she takes another rope, she ties it to that rope. And then she discovers that it's still 2 fingers too short. If we follow the whole Leela, as described in the Bhagavatam, it doesn't stop there. Not only does she take as much rope as she can find and ties it to the end and still discovers it 2 fingers too short, and all the elderly gopis are standing there, Jasoda, what are you doing? You're working so hard trying to tie up your son. Can't you see he's not going to be tied up today? Why didn't you just accept it? And Mother Jasoda says, no, I want to see the extent of my son's waist. You get all the rope you have in your house and bring it. So she's the queen of Vrindavan, she sent all the gopis, elderly gopis, back to their homes to look for rope. They all came back, rope, rope, stacked up ropes. And she took one by one and she tied it. And each time she added another rope, 2 fingers too short. How is this possible? It's inconceivable. Actually, it's possible, and it's also explained by our Vaishnavacharyas, that Krishna has multi-potencies that act all according to his will. But in this particular pastime, 2 potencies at this particular point were at play. He has 2 potencies. One potency is called Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Satya Sankalpa Shakti is the potency of Krishna that fulfills all his desires. If Krishna has a desire, he's the supreme absolute truth. He's the Parama Purusha. He's the supreme enjoyer. He doesn't have to do anything to fulfill his desires. His potencies all do it for him. Right? Just like I gave the example the other night, when Krishna creates a universe, he doesn't have to go to Home Depot. It all happens to his potencies. They all work very perfectly to serve him. He doesn't have to do anything. So he has multifarious potencies. One of them is called the Satya Sankalpa Shakti. It's a potency that fulfills any desire he has. And what was his desire? His desire was, he didn't want to be tied up, he wanted to play with his friends. That was his desire. And there's another potency, it's called Vibhuti Shakti. Vibhuti means like opulences. The Vibhuti Shakti is a potency that which displays the opulences of Krishna that are very it's something very wonderful. That's the best way to describe it. And what's very wonderful in this pastime, the Vibhuti Shakti, what was very wonderful is that every time Yasoda tied a rope to the existing rope, it was always 2 fingers too short. No, that definitely defies material laws. And actually, it's explained that Krishna cannot be tied up by rope, but he was tied, as Satyavrata Muni describes in his Dhammadurgastika prayers, was tied up by the ropes of his mother's love. Ropes didn't tie him, it was her love. And what happened, that Krishna wanted, as we said this, didn't want to be tied up, and the Satya Sankalpa Shakti was obstructing her from tying him up. In a very wonderful way, by this Vibhuti Shakti, which is by every time she tied another rope, it was always 2 fingers too short. And then what happened in this particular pastime And this is also described by Shukadeva Goswami in this ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Krishna saw the hard labor of his mother, the Sanskrit word is called parishrama. Parishrama means hard labor. He was looking at the hard labor of his mother, how hard she was working to try to tie him up. And what happened is by observing her hard labor, Krishna became captivated by her loving affection and by her intense labor to tie him, that his heart melted. His heart completely melted. It was called, what manifested then is what called the Kripa Shakti. The Kripa Shakti is Krishna's potency of Kripa, mercy. He manifests his mercy. How does he manifest his mercy? He becomes so attracted by this loving attitude of his devotee that his heart melted. And when his heart melted and he was thinking, I have my own desire. But even though I have my own desire, the power of the devotee's love is so strong that Krishna becomes defeated, not by ropes, but by the love. And in fact, it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, there is a competition between the devotee and the Lord. The Lord, devotee is trying to please the Lord, and the Lord is trying to please the devotee. And when in this competition between the devotee and the devotee generally prevails and defeats the Lord. Mother Jasoda prevailed, not because she was able to trick Krishna, but she prevailed because of her unalloyed love. And therefore, Krishna's heart melted, and when his heart melted, then what happened was the Satya Sankalpa Shakti and the Vibhuti Shakti, which had manifested to serve his purposes prior, they left. He said, okay, we don't need to be around anymore. And because of the bhakta nishta means conviction, of bhakta nishta, the firm conviction of the devotee, and Krishna's svanishta, his own nishta. What is Krishna's own nishta? His own conviction is that he allows himself to become purchased by the love of his devotee and allows himself to become under the control of the devotee, so much so that a devotee can defeat Krishna. Now, who can defeat Krishna? Nobody can defeat Krishna, but a devotee can. A devotee defeats Krishna by his love. Love is the most powerful. Nothing more powerful than love. And Krishna agrees to be defeated by love. He agrees to become subordinate and under the control of those who love him spontaneously. Not because he's the order supplier. That's not love, that's business. That's a mercantile relationship. Oh, yeah, we love you because we expect something from you. That's not love. They love Krishna because he's Krishna. They love Krishna for no other reason except because of their loving relationship they have with Krishna. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my friend. They think in this way. They don't know anyone but Krishna. Such is the nature of their pure, unalloyed love. And therefore, Krishna becomes so attracted by that love. And he even, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he even describes, Lord Brahma describes in his prayers to Krishna, he says, you become conquered, although you are otherwise unconquerable, you allow yourself to become conquered by those who love to hear about you. Whatever position they are in, those who love to hear about you, you become conquered by them. They love to hear about his divine pastimes as they're manifested with his devotees. And therefore, Krishna, being captivated by the love of Mother Jasoda, he was defeated. And Mother Jasoda tied him up, controlled by love. I oftentimes tell, I like this a little, and the story that Prabhupada tells in this connection, which is a nice analogy to help us understand the concept. Prabhupada tells a story, I know probably many of you have heard it many times, but it's Prabhupada. He tells a story about a prime minister named Prime Minister Gladstone. And he says that this Prime Minister Gladstone once had an important meeting with an ambassador who was coming to see him. And the time arrived for the ambassador to come for the meeting, and the ambassador arrived in his office and approached the secretary. The Prime Minister was in his own cabinet, and he approached the secretary and said to the secretary, my name is so-and-so, ambassador. I have a meeting with Prime Minister Gladstone. Could you please tell him I've arrived? And then the secretary said, please have a seat. Wait a minute, I'll go and tell him that you're here. So the secretary goes into the Prime Minister's office, and she comes out in a minute and says to the ambassador, please remain seated there. Prime Minister is very busy right now. When he's ready, he'll meet with you. So the ambassador was sitting and waiting. Time was passing. And he began thinking, I'm the ambassador. I've come to meet the Prime Minister. Why is he keeping me waiting so long? What's so important that he's keeping me waiting? So he went, and he saw that the door was open a little bit when the secretary came out. So he decided to peek inside the room to see what is so important to keep him waiting. And when he looked in, he saw that Prime Minister Gladstone was on the floor on his hands and knees. And his grandson was on his back riding him like a pony. And every time the grandson would kick the Prime Minister would immediately run forward and play the part perfectly to satisfy the grandson. And Prabhupada told this story to help us understand. He said, this is Krishna. There's many important affairs going on in the universe. Many important people doing important things. But what is so important for Krishna is for those who have love. That's most important. Those who have love. Those who are attracted to Krishna because he's Krishna. And because he's so beautiful, so attractive, so intelligent. So many wonderful characteristics which the devotees appreciate in the pastimes of the Lord. They love him for who he is, and because they love him for who he is, and not for anything else, Krishna becomes captivated by their love, and he reciprocates accordingly. And says, Yayatamam prapajante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to me, as you serve me, I reciprocate. You want my love? Love me? You'll get my love. If you want something else, you can get it. But Krishna doesn't have to be so intimately involved in those matters. He has his potencies that do that all for him. But he definitely gets personally involved when there's love, because that's what attracts him. That's what's Yasoda. Yasa means fame, and Da means she distributes. Yasoda distributes Krishna's fame by this pastime of Damodar Lila. Because she distributes by making Krishna's fame known throughout all of creation as Damodar, of one who allowed himself to become bound by the ropes of the love of his mother. That is the prayer that we sing in the Damodarastika prayers. We do it every night. And this particular pastime, as we read about in today's purport. This took place on Diwali. So we get the opportunity to observe both simultaneously tonight by chanting these prayers by Satyavrata Muni and by offering lamp to Lord Damodar. This is a little about Damodar Lila. We'll stop here and we'll chant Damodarastika prayers. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
We have lamps here. Everybody, like, come one by one and then open them.
These prayers, who has them?
No, the sheep having this one.
They're being handed out. Okay. So everyone can try to sing along. Can I read the translation first? Is there time?
Yes.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
Okay. I'd like to read the translation first. To the Supreme Lord, whose form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge and bliss, whose shark-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro, who is beautifully shining in the divine realm of Gokula, who, due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing, is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Jasoda, but who has been caught from him behind by her who ran after him with greater speed. To that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my obeisances. Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand, he is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell, is shaking because of his quick breathing, due to crying. To this Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound not with ropes but with his mother's pure love, I offer my humble obeisances. By such childhood pastimes as this, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy, and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence that he is only conquered by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon which may be obtained by executing the nine processes of bhakti. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Bala, Gopal, and Vrindavan may ever be manifest in my heart, for what is the use to me of any other boon besides this? O Lord, your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair, tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yasoda, and your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me. O Supreme Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you. O Damodar, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Master, O my Lord, be pleased upon me by showering your glance of mercy upon me. Deliver this poor, ignorant fool who is immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows and become visible to my eyes. O Lord Damodar, Just as the two sons of Kuvera, Managriva and Nalakuvara, were delivered from the curse of Narada and made into great devotees by you in your form as a baby tied with rope to a wooden grinding mortar, in the same way, please give to me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this, and I have no desire for any kind of liberation. O Lord Damodar, I first of all offer my obeisances to the brilliantly effulgent rope which binds your belly. I then offer my obeisances to your belly, which is the abode of the entire universe. I humbly bow down to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and I offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, who displays unlimited pastimes.
Namami Sadam Sachin.